Welcome to the Naked Relationship Podcast. I'm Adam.
And I'm Kelly.
And this is going to be somewhat abnormal episode because we are talking about
a previous episode.
Yeah, we're going to reference a previous episode and kind of give a little bit more context and clarity.
Yeah, which episode was that?
You ask an intriguing question, my dear.
Yeah.
Let's see. That was episode 36. And so we're going to just kind of dive on in. But first, a major shout out to altplayground.net. Check them out. And so today's feature that we're highlighting is The Big Wall. It's a naughty, sexy place to share some of your hottest photos and see other adventurous couples. Perfect for all you exhibitionists and voyeur folks out there. Also, it's a perfect way to see who's active in your area and reach out to fellow lifestylers that you might be interested in meeting. And I think that's an awesome tool to have because it's themed.
Yes, so, every day is a different theme. Today, what is it? Monday is when we're recording this. Mm-hmm. And the theme is hashtag beachy.
Yeah, it's so beachy.
If you post your photo and put a hashtag beachy, it might be featured on there.
It's a pretty cool tool to just really help connect people together. I'm pretty pumped about it. I think that Alt Playground is just continuing to just push the ball forward in a very progressive manner. And I think that this is one of those cool features to help do that.
Yeah.
Real quick, before we get into the meat and the potatoes, as they say here in the South, of the episode, we're going to give you our socials because, quite frankly, I almost forgot about it. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at TNR Podcasts. That's plural. And you can also find us online at thenakedrelationship.com. Am I forgetting anything, babe, other than the fact that you run the Instagram?
Nope, that's pretty much it.
All right, so why don't you start?
I start.
I mean, it's literally your story to tell.
Okay, so episode 36, I talked about how I was meeting this new potential sugar daddy, and it was kind of on the fly. He asked if I was home, and I said yes, and he said he was in the area, he would like to meet me. Suggested meeting in the parking lot where Adam can see me, which I thought was kind of nice. Like, hey, meeting you here, it's still visible where someone can see you, your husband can see you. Totally cool. So I told Adam about it and he is agreeable to it. So I start kind of getting ready because I also had some errands to run that day. So I just throw on some clothes, some like comfy clothes. And he texts me when he's here and I told him to park nearby where we could see him. And he parks by the dog park, which we live kind of close by to in our apartment complex. So I walk up to his vehicle. He tells me he drives a truck. So I walk up and there's like, he parks next to like all the trucks basically. So I'm walking up in there and he is parked right in the middle. He is the biggest truck there. Okay. It's lifted. You know, my short ass had to jump on there to get into the truck. So we get in there. I introduce myself. I try to be my normal self, which is like very difficult to do in those very interesting situations where you're potentially meeting a new sugar daddy. And I introduce myself. I try to act like my normal self, my normal bubbly self. And it is not as awkward as I think it should be. But I guess he likes me because I'm like, I know I'm not everybody's type. Okay. I know I'm not like super, what's the word? I'm not like super, like I'm not everybody's body type. I'm not everybody's like physical type. So apparently I'm his, like he likes me enough to tell me like, oh, I think you're attractive. I think we can work something out. And we just talk for a little bit, like ask questions about like if he's ever done this thing before, because that kind of helps me gauge like, does he kind of know expectations of what's like gonna happen? Like, has he ever done anything like this? I tell him I've done a little bit of it. Like, I feel like I meet a lot of people and sometimes it doesn't go anywhere because like I'm not attracted to them and I don't want to do this just for the money. I have to kind of actually like you a little bit. I'm not that desperate with this. So I gauge his reaction. I figure out if he's done this before. And he said he has, like a couple years ago, I think. And then I start just like asking general questions. Like, are you married? Because I don't do married men. I don't help people cheat. That's one of the rules that me and Adam have. I ask like general questions. Like, do you have kids? Like, how busy are you? What's your schedule like? Things like that. Things to help me gauge like, if I can see this potentially going somewhere, like, are you too busy to actually meet? Because I meet a lot of those guys that are way too busy. Like, I know they want something. What's the word? Because I know they want something, but they don't have enough time to actually meet me, you know?
Like, they're just too busy?
Yeah, they're just fucking too busy. So
that should sound pretty familiar for you.
Uh-huh. But I make the time, okay? I make time for stuff, okay? Even though I'm busy, I make time for stuff. And I did initially kind of get a reading of that he was too busy. He told me he was a contractor, I think.
Yeah, he's like a special ops mercenary.
Sure. No, he's a contractor. He's the one who gets all the businesses for new buildings to be put up and organizes all that. I think. I don't deal with that type of stuff, so I don't really know if I'm explaining it right. But yeah, then he asked me questions about my lifestyle. Like, in my profile, it says that I'm in an open relationship, which translates into open marriage. Like, does my husband know? Is he okay with this? Like, how much of a participation is he wanting to be involved in? Have I done this before? I think similar questions to what I was asking. And everything seemed to be okay. Like, everything seemed to be like, he was a little bit younger than I was looking for. He was like in his mid 40s. I thought he was attractive. He was a redhead. I thought he was cute.
You beat me to one of my, I don't want to say fantasies, but like on my wish list, I've always wanted to play with a ginger.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe it's an Oedipus complex. I'm kidding. I have no
You're
idea.
You're gross. You're fucking gross.
I'm kidding.
But yeah. And I thought he was attractive. And like before, previously, I think Adam and I set the expectations of like no doing anything on the first meetup.
Yeah. It was just supposed to be a meet and greet. No oral even.
But that did not happen. Okay. So I was really liking this guy. Like, I feel like it was, it would have been a good fit. So he was getting like, you could tell he's nervous. Like, he said he hadn't done this in a minute and he was just a little anxious, trying to like be calm and collected. But he said he wanted to go for a drive to calm his nerves and also maybe potentially like do other stuff. And I did let Adam know that we were going for a drive. That freaked him out.
Who, me or him?
You.
Yeah, because another thing is like no change in plans. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if you say you're going to do something, do it. And if you say you're not going to do something, don't do it.
Yes.
Because, like, me and you, like, mostly me, have, like, high anxiety.
You. Yeah.
Right. But, like for example, you need to mentally prep for things.
Not all things.
Okay, sure. But, like, I don't know. Let's say anal. You need to mentally prep for that. Or you need to prep for, I don't know, pegging me or other things. But if you're mentally prepping for something and then there's like a change in plan, like, oh, hey, this other girl is going to be also pegging me or we're going to have another guy penetrate you anally or whatever. Like, you need to prep for that.
I know, but sometimes I also like go with the flow. Like, if sure. It's within.
But my point is like, if there's a change in plan when you're mentally prepping for something, it can kind of just throw everything off.
Yeah. And be more even anxiety and stress inducing, mm-hmm. which I totally get. So I did let Adam know, but when we get over it, like, we just drive down the street to this, like, mini abandoned parking lot, which it wasn't kind of scary. It was, like, it was just an empty parking lot. We get there, we chat a little bit more, and then we, like, start making out. Making out leads to me having sex in the truck with this guy. And I enjoyed it, actually. Like, it was pretty fun. It was risky. That's kind of like what I envisioned me doing, like meeting up with some random guy and just like having sex with him. It was really, I liked it. I enjoyed it a lot. It was really hot. Thankfully, I brought condoms in my purse. We did use protection. He was also like, couldn't stay hard because he was too nervous. So just imagine like someone just slapping your genitals with a limp dick, and that was mostly it, but like it was still pretty fun. I guess the thrill of it was what I really enjoyed. But it was only like 5-10 minutes, and then we start driving back. And
so like during this time I'm like texting her like, are you okay? Not like every minute or two. I think I texted you and tried to like Snapchat you to get your phone to light up so you'd see it, because this is a guy that you just met, and so the fact that there was a change in the plan so soon, I was like, are you really okay here? And so luckily your Google Maps had like shared your location and stuff like that. So I was actually driving to that location to make sure that you were okay. And I was fully mm-hmm. prepared to like open the door and bust someone's ass.
Oh, babe, I cannot imagine you busting ass on anyone, but continue.
I mean, if it was like to make sure that you're okay or like protect you in any way, bet your ass.
I feel like you're just so overprotective.
And well, all right. So here's the thing. You're the love of my life. You're my wife and a whole bunch of other reasons I could continue to list and really bore these people, our listeners, to death. The fact of the matter is that there was a change in plans that wasn't supposed to happen at all. And we'd also agreed on meet and greets. It would be your car. So that way you could be in control. And this was late July, early August. And so I was completely fine with it, with you meeting him in the parking lot and all that. And I was like, why don't you just walk him around the apartment complex, maybe just sit down at the benches at the grills and just talk and have a good time.
First of all, I was not comfortable with that because it was too fucking hot.
Sure.
And I do not want to walk around with a stranger where I can potentially see my neighbors.
Sure.
Okay. That's why I didn't do that.
Regardless, you had made that argument to me and I was like, okay, that's fine. So why not get in your car? So then you get in this truck and then you, which like isn't a big deal, you know, but then the whole driving somewhere, I'm like, okay, are you really okay here? Because it was just not supposed to happen. And so I'm basically dot watching the Google Maps location.
Stalking.
Making sure like, okay, Dot hasn't moved. And I waited like a good while before I was trying to talk myself out of getting in the car. And I'm like, fuck it, I'm going. So I get in the car. I sit in the driver's seat for a good minute or two. I'm like, no, she'll be coming. She'll be home soon.
She'll
whatever.
Be coming around the mountain.
Yeah. And I'm just like trying to like mentally just talk myself down off of that ledge. And eventually I'm like, fuck it, I'm going.
And then I text you and call you.
You wait until after I pull out of the apartment complex and I'm on that road where you were on. And hell, we might have even passed each other.
I don't think I saw you.
Regardless, I was about halfway down that road. And it's not a long road. It might be like half a mile. And I'm halfway down this road and I get a call from you and a text from you. You're like, hey, I'm finished. I'm at the house. And then that's where the major issue for me kind of begins. Because you didn't tell me right away what had happened. And I understand you need time to process it now, which is like why you didn't tell me right away. But it just kind of felt like the way that you worded everything was all you did was kiss him. And
so I basically lied
for a couple of days.
Yes. And I like even now when I hear you talk about it, like I still feel like you're trying to protect me or yourself from like the full spectrum of what actually happened.
So don't get me wrong, like it definitely fucking hurt. And the thing to me that is, so you want to call it the C word. You want to call
it. I cheated because I did.
I think for me, I look at it a little bit differently. Probably a little bit one, because like, I don't want to call it cheating. I really don't.
Why?
Because one, if everything had gone well with this guy, you would have fucked him on your second date. So it's not like sex wasn't out of the possibility of happening. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
okay, but let's look up the definition of cheating, okay? Because, babe,
I look at it more as a breaking of rules. Because one, we're non-monogamous, and two, sex had a high possibility of happening with this fucker anyway.
Yeah.
You know? So because of those two things, that's why I look at it as like a breaking of rules. The thing that bothers me the most is that you lied about it.
Okay. Cheating is a violation of a couple's assumed or stated contract regarding emotional and or sexual activity.
So essentially, anytime you break the rule, it would be cheating. You don't check in, it's cheating. You don't do this, you're cheating. No. And yeah. I think that every couple, every single relationship has its own definition of what cheating is. So like my friend that I met at our favorite swinger bar, him and his wife have a completely different view of cheating than we do because they're very monogamous, right? Or really, they just, even better of an answer, they're just a completely different couple with different ideologies and beliefs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they have a different foundation than us.
Yeah.
So like we might have a different foundation and everything else than as compared to maybe other lifestylers, right? That's why I look at it as like you just broke the rule, but what bothers me is that you lied about it.
So cheating. Okay, so I broke the rule when I went and saw Adam. Like he pulled up right next to me as I was walking up the apartment, okay? So I hop in his car and I completely lied to his face about what happened. Okay. That is the definition of cheating.
Well, when I went to drop you off at the hospital where you work so you could get some paperwork or some other things for FMLA or whatever it was, I kissed you as you got out of the car and it smelled like cock breath. And I was like, okay, this is a little interesting here. Maybe that's what happens when you kiss a guy. I doubt it, but it smelled like cock
exactly,
breath.
Exactly, because I blew this guy and I fucked him and I did not tell you about it.
Mm-hmm.
Cheating, okay? I cheated, okay? I did. You just refuse to accept it.
For a number of reasons here. One, you broke the rule. The thing that bothers me is that you lied. Not that you had sex with him. Like, if our rules would have been like, yeah, you can fuck on first date, by all means. Because you did that with Danny Boy. You did that with a few other people that, since we started swinging.
Yeah.
But it's just the fact you didn't tell me. Like, if you would have told me, I would have been a little upset that you broke the rules. But I wouldn't have been as hurt as I was.
Yes. Okay. So, after I did that, and I lied to Adam's face. Like, I knew I was doing bad. Like, I knew it would potentially, I don't know what the word is.
You thought we would, break up or something?
No, I didn't think we would break up. I was just trying to figure out, why I did that. Why did I lie to you, not just tell you the truth? And it took me a couple days to kind of figure out why I did that. Like, I kept thinking about it. Like, I was thinking about it all the time. I think I was at work when I finally had some, alone time for my thoughts to figure out, why I did what I did, why I fucked this guy, and then lied to Adam about it. And It took me like a couple days, I want to say 2 or 3 days to kind of process why I did that. And I did eventually tell Adam. I told him, I think this happened on a Sunday. I told him on a Tuesday.
Tuesday morning.
Yeah, Tuesday
morning.
As you
get home from work.
As I get off work. I told Adam, hey, we were in bed. I remember this. I was in bed. I started crying because it was very emotional. And I told Adam the truth that I lied to him. And that I did sleep with this guy in his truck.
All day Monday and all night Monday, I was like, I bet she blew him. I bet she blew him. So I was expecting you to tell me that.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting, because we even had sex later and I didn't, I couldn't tell that you had sex with him. Like, we even role played it. Like, I'm fucking you and I'm like, oh yeah, picture that guy doing all these things to you.
Okay.
I was fully expecting you just to tell me you blew him, and that was it.
Yeah, no.
Little did I know.
Little did you know I would drop an atomic bomb on your world. No, I told him everything. I told him that I did blow him, and that I also fucked him with a condom, and it was super short, and that's why we came back super fast, and that's why maybe we could have possibly, passed you on the road. Again, I lied to your face, and it took me a day and a half to kind of process what I was why I did that and why I just didn't tell you the truth. And I think the conclusion was that it's everything, all these rules that we have in place, they're specifically Adam driven rules. I agree with them, but I don't voice my
discomfort.
Resistance. Yeah. My what did you say? I don't voice my
discomfort
with them, or I don't like them, or try to argue my reason for it. I just accept oh, okay, this is going to be a rule.
Yeah, you're a yes man or yes woman.
I'm a yes woman. So this is not how I pictured meeting sugar daddies. I picture it in my head as meeting someone, liking them, and if you like them, you fuck them. But Adam has all these rules and regulations in place to kind of hinder my fantasy from coming true. And I think that's why I did what I wanted and disregarded your rules completely, because I feel like they're too restricting for me to actually enjoy what I wanted to enjoy out of it.
I mean, and to be fair, we've since, revised the rules a little bit. And,
yeah, we have revised and re-edited some of them. They're more we both agreed on each of these rules. I just didn't agree with what you were saying. I felt like there was input from both of us.
Right. It was more democratic instead of one-sided.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is great because, even when we were going over the rules for the podcast, while we were recording the podcast, kind of called you out. I was like, are you sure you're not just saying yes and all this?
Yes.
You know? So I did try to prevent that, but I don't know. I guess it took a little bit for you to kind of realize what you were doing.
Yeah, it did. And then when I told Adam, I cried. was pretty bad.
Yeah, it took me about 2 weeks to kind of like really kind of get over.
Yeah, and we even talked to our therapist about it. And I just feel like, first of all, it was very hard to talk to someone that you're very like open about, but like they're kind of judge. Like, it feels like they were judging me.
I don't think she judges us.
I don't think she judges us, but it feels like that. You should train to like feel judgment by anyone when you tell like you did wrong. You
know? I think she might have been like, okay, here we go again.
Yes. Like, where did Kelly fuck up again? That's basically all our conversation is, Kelly fucking up a lot. But yeah, so we talked to our therapist and like, thank God for her. I love her. But
same.
We are trying to do better about being open and honest and intentional with our actions. And it's still very hard. It's something that we still work with and deal with every single day.
Like yesterday.
What happened yesterday? When what did I do yesterday?
You didn't do anything wrong yesterday. Oh. We were coming home from the grocery store and I had that conversation with you. I was like, are you sure you're happy? Because some of our pretty close friends are going through some issues right now. And I just wanted to check in with you and see, like, hey, are you happy? I wanted to make sure that you were, and like not hiding anything or including feelings, you know, like I wanted to make sure that how you felt was what I knew you were feeling.
So yeah, it's just something that we still deal with every day. And we just have to be aware and be honest with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I cheated.
No. So that's going to do it for this week's episode, guys. Let us know what you think on social media.
Yes, please put in your input. Tell us what you think. Tell me if I cheated.
You can find us on social medias to let us know at TNR Podcasts. That's Facebook, Twitter, and the grams of Insta. And our website is thenakedrelationship.com. And please do not forget about altplayground.net. They are amazing. They're always trying to not reinvent the wheel, but better it in terms of your online swinger connections, because they're just trying to push the ball forward, grow sex positive community that we all know and love. And so yeah, altplayground.net. You got any last words for him?
Bye.
Adios.